Hope everyone's had a good week. Enjoyed the meal this afternoon. It was good. Be in prayer for Brother Kyle as he holds a service over there at the Hamlets right now, starting in 10 minutes. I'm sure it's going to be a real blessing to the Weavers and the residents there at the Hamlets. So you have to excuse me as I get myself more sort of prepped up here. And also, if you could be in prayer for Aaron Race, he's not sure exactly what's going on, but he's got a really, really painful neck that just kind of came on sudden, like worsened in the last 3 days, but it's been this morning it's been really bad. So if you could be in prayer for him, he's in the hospital right now just getting checked out. And also, if you could, of course, be in prayer for my parents down on their trip down going down to the States. They're in Manitoba right now in Treherne, and then they're going down, eventually making their way down to Missouri to see my sister. So, Missouri, Kansas City. I don't know how a Brit ends up moving to Canada and then marrying a Canadian and having a daughter move down to the States. It's all mixed up, isn't it? Okay, well let's turn to Joshua, please. Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15. Familiar passage. As I mentioned this morning, we're going to be looking at steps in making a decision permanent. And I'm borrowing some of this material from my father-in-law who did a study on this some years ago. So that's Joshua 24:15. We'll actually go back up to verse 14. We'll stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to. Stretch the legs and we'll stand in respect for the reading of God's word. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then just dropping down to verse 24. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice we will obey. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we pray you'd help us as we look at the matter of making decisions permanent, that when we are moved by your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to make a decision and that's pleasing to you, but then would follow up with it. We pray that you would help us to see some truths from this word, this passage, and others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the background here is that Joshua and the children of Israel made a decision to serve the Lord here. We read our passage there from Joshua 24:15 and 24. And as I mentioned this morning, the reason for choosing this as a passage is because we had a men's retreat this last weekend, and many of the men were able to go. And of the men that went, I think everyone came away with some blessings, some convictions, and some decisions that they made. And we got to be careful to make sure that we make good decisions and that we follow through with them and that we set ourselves up for success. Because if we make a decision on the fly and then we don't follow through with it, it's going to make us less likely to want to make a good decision in the future, because we're going to say, last time I did this, it didn't pan out for me. So we'll look at the matter of making a decision permanent. Now, as always, we need to make sure that it is a good decision. A good decision is one that's based on the Word of God and is directed by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes there are decisions that might seem good to us, but in reality they are not a good decision. Or maybe they're a decision that we are unable to actually fulfill. I've mentioned this before, but I was at a conference once as a child, and I said, I'm going to read 7 chapters of the Bible a day. And it was a noble decision, but it wasn't something that was really quite practical, especially as a child. I mean, an adult has a better comprehension and better ability to read God's word, but there are times when we make decisions that are not practical. So we need to be careful that we think through what is a good decision. First of all, most important, is it biblical? And then is it directed by the Holy Spirit? Has the Holy Spirit convicted me to make this decision? You notice there in our text, in Joshua 24:14, it says there, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth." Well, there's some key aspects of making a proper decision, is that we are to serve him in sincerity. And you remember what that word sincere means. It means something that is, it's transparent, it is honest. I mean, that word itself, I think as many of you know, it means sun-tested. And it refers back to a bad habit that some merchants would have of taking pottery or china that had cracks in it, and then they would put wax over top of that, and you wouldn't notice the difference unless you held it up to the sun, and then you could see the cracks, the light shining through the cracks. And so sun tested. And so when we are going to be sincere, we are transparent. We are honest. We are walking in integrity. So when we're making decisions, we have to walk in sincerity, and we have to walk in truth. They go hand in hand. A poor decision, on the other hand, is often based on emotions. It might be based on peer pressure. It might be based on psychological manipulation or mere conformity to please others. And those are not good reasons to make a decision. We know that our heart, the Bible says in Jeremiah, is wicked. Let's take a look at that passage. Jeremiah 17:9. I bring this up to remind ourselves that we cannot trust our emotions. And so many people they go through life trying to trust their own intuition, the way they feel about something. And we know that our emotions can be tweaked. I mean, your emotions, my emotions, will be different on a sunny day or on a glowering day. We should try to rise above, but our emotions will be different on a day which we had a good deal of rest, an appropriate level of rest, as opposed to a day when we're just tired, worn out. Our physical body impacts our emotions a great deal. And so if we rely on making emotional decisions, those decisions will depend on how we're doing at that time. And it will be like a roller coaster. And I have no interest in having a roller coaster existence, going up, going down. So we see that our heart is deceitful in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So it deceives us. We don't place trust on the heart, trust on our emotions. It's got to be trust on the Word of God. Trust on His Word. So poor decisions are those that are based on emotions, peer pressure, psychology, psychological manipulation, mere conformity to please others. We think about psychological manipulation. In the environment of the church, we try to be so careful not to practice psychological manipulation. We try to preach the Word of God, but we don't try to manipulate people into making decisions that they do not want to make. If a person makes a decision that they really don't want to make, you know it's not going to last. I've mentioned before how some years ago I was driving home from Peace River, going to Edmonton when I lived out there, and I picked up a hitchhiker just outside of Peace River. I think it was in Nanton or something like that. And I had him in my car for about 4.5 hours. And I started witnessing to him, talking to him about Jesus. I explained how we're all sinners. We've all broken God's law. How we stand condemned because we've broken his law. But that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that he came to pay the penalty for our sins, and that if we recognize our sinful state, put our trust in Christ, and repent of being a sinner, we can have a home in heaven. We talked about that. Went through verses after verse. I was driving, so I couldn't pull out the Bible. But, quoted scripture to him. At the end of it all, I asked him, I said, "Are you ready to trust Jesus as your Savior?" And he looked at me and he goes, I could do it for you. And I said, "No, you can't do it for me. You have to believe it. It has to be something you want." You know, I could have psychologically manipulated him and pressured him into doing it. But no, he had to make that decision himself. The scripture talks about reasoning with people. We can do that. We can reason with people. And how do we reason with people? Through the Word of God. All we do is we line up verse after verse and show a person their lost state. I mean, I'm assuming we're talking to someone who has never trusted Christ as their Savior. And we show them verse after verse. And we explain that the Bible says that those that never trust Christ are condemned, as every believer was at one point in time, myself included, all of us. But we don't psychologically manipulate people. So when making a decision, it needs to be based in sincerity and truth. It needs to be one that is directed by the Holy Spirit, one that is biblically true, biblically accurate, does not go against Scripture. But you know another thing about decisions is it needs to be specific, clear, and attainable. You know, so often we get moved in our heart. Maybe we hear some good preaching, we get moved. And we say, we have something generic that we say, "Oh, I want to be a better person." That's not specific. How do you benchmark that? How do you calibrate that? How do you see whether you've actually achieved anything at the end of that year? You've got to be able to have benchmarks, be able to say, "Yes, I am making progress." It has to be clear. As many of you know, my career is in EMS, and right now I'm taking this course, some intensive training right now for being an emergency call taker for the 911 dispatch. And we're going over landmarks, and I'm finding it a bit of a challenge. So we're the students in this class, we're throwing each other different scenarios, and I'm just as guilty, you know, trying to find something on the map that's going to be hard for my fellow students to find. And, you know, the idea is basically, I'm not sure where I am. I was sleeping, and my husband was driving, and now he's having a heart attack on the side of the road, and come get us. You know, and so we have to try to pull out from them specifically, okay, where were you traveling? Where were you going? How far were you traveling down this road? Was it a windy road? Was it a straight road? Was it a two-lane? Was it a four-lane? You know, what can you remember? And try to piece together different things. Is there a bridge? Were you going up a canyon? Oh, great, you're going up the canyon. Do you remember how many tunnels you went through? You know, things like that. And we need specifics. And the same thing when making a decision, it has to be a specific decision, not just, "Oh, I'm going to get better. I'm going to do better." Not just, "I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better father. I'll be a No, it has to be specific. What exactly does that mean? What am I going to do to be a better husband, a better father, a better man of God? Or, on the converse, a better woman, a better wife, a better mother, a better woman of God? What am I going to do different? Specific, clear, and attainable. Something that, yes, we can do. Now, sometimes that last part there, sometimes we recognize that there are things that we cannot attain in our own flesh, in our own strength, and that. But yet the Lord says, "I want you to do it," and we say, "Okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, then I'll do it." I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do this, but that's what you've laid upon my heart. It has to be very clear that that's what He has laid. Now let's look at an example. He turned to Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10. So, as you remember, in the book of Nehemiah, we have the children of Israel have been in bondage in the nation of the Babylonian captivity, and then that later became the Medes and the Persians, and then they were allowed to return back to their country, to Israel, in particular to Jerusalem, and they were to rebuild the temple and then later the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah went, and he was fervent in his walk with God and in his attempts to get the people of God to do right. And in Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 28, we see them making some specific decisions. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, and the singers, and the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and his judgments and his statutes. Pause there for a second. So they clave together, meaning like they joined together as a body. They were one mind, unified, one heart. And it says that they entered into a curse. And that curse, you might think, well, that doesn't sound good. And basically it's an oath. They're making a vow before God and they're saying, yes, we will do this. And essentially when you enter into a curse like that, it's basically saying, okay, we're going to do this. And if we fail from doing this, then we will accept God's punishment for doing that which is wrong. So, verse 29, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered in the curse. Okay, verse 30. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Also, we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread and for the continual meat offering and for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths and the new moons, for the set feasts and for the holy things and for the sin offerings, and to make atonement for Israel and for all the work of the house of our God. And goes on, you know, carries on with what they were going to do. But you notice there, it was specific things that they said they were going to do. Specific. They were not going to intermarry with the people of the land round about them, those that were not Israelites. They were going to keep all of the, they were going to keep the law of Moses, God's law, to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God, his judgments, his statutes, and that they would not buy and sell on the Sabbath day. These are things that it was very specific decisions that they made. When making a decision, we need to count the cost. We got to be ensure that we're that partway down that path that we go, oh, I didn't realize what this was going to cost me. I didn't realize how much time it was going to take me. Like, for instance, as a simple sort of an illustration, if you say, I am going to make a decision to read the Bible through in 1 year, And really, reading it through in 1 year is quite attainable. Some people read it through in a month. They'll read it through every month. I've not been successful at doing that. That is a lot of reading. And my problem is that I have a hard time. I end up getting caught. And I'm like, hey, look at this verse here. Wow, look at that thought. And I stop. And you know, that's actually good. It's good to plow through and read God's word, but it is also good to stop and actually absorb it. If we're just speed reading, it's unlikely we're going to get anything. But we do need to actually spend time on it. So, but you make this decision. I'm going to read the Bible through over the course of a year. But then you get into the second month and you're like, oh, I didn't realize how long this was going to take, how much of my time. In reality, it's not much. But some people say, I don't have that kind of time. You've got to count the cost when you're making a decision. You've got to say, yes, I understand what this is going to mean, and I am willing to make that decision. You got to have a plan on how you'll carry out that decision. Not just nebulous. We'll get there somehow. A plan. You figure it out. It's also good to make a decision and make it visible. So make a witness of your decision. Write it down. And sometimes, you know, we'll, one way of showing others, not that we're doing it for the praise of man, but one way of showing that we've made a decision is, like, for instance, coming to the altar when the Lord has moved us during the preaching of God's word, walking forward, making it public. Can, you know, maybe talk to others and share with them what God laid upon your heart. And talk to someone and say, okay, I need your help. I need help being made accountable to this decision that I made. You look at verse 22 in our text in Joshua. Joshua 24:22. Joshua gives them the good and the bad. He says, you cannot serve the Lord, in verse 19, for he is a holy God, he's a jealous God, he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, no, but we will serve the Lord. And then Joshua turns around. I can imagine he was probably pretty blunt and pretty forward with them. He said, and Joshua said unto the people, verse 22, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. So they made a public commitment with God. And we see that verse 25, it was a covenant. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. It was a covenant. A promise, a vow. And vows are good. But at the same time, vows have to be done very carefully. You know, we're told in Ecclesiastes that it is better for someone not to make a vow than for someone to make a vow and not fulfill it. So sometimes it's good to for our own weaknesses, to put time stamps on those vows. Lord, this week, this is what I'm going to do. So that we can go one step at a time. So that, you know, I've heard it said before, people that are going through some really hard endurance training, sometimes they'll go meal to meal. They're like, okay, you know, I'm going to eat again in 6 hours, and I'm going to eat again in 6 hours, and they have that in their mind. Make that goal. Or, you know, I've been gone jogging before, and I don't really enjoy jogging, but sometimes I do it with my father-in-law. I usually try to forget my running shoes when I go there. You know, instead of goal, okay, well, make it to that telephone pole, and then we'll take a breather. And then you're like, oh, I can make another telephone pole. And we'll run a little bit further, hit that one. It's like, I can do it. I'm getting a third wind or a second wind. We can make the next telephone pole. So I think there's a time and place for making kind of short-term goals, short-term vows even with the Lord. And Lord, I commit to you that I will do this or I will not do this during this period. Not that we will then do it afterwards, but But that would, we would make these short-term commitments that would then end up being the whole race, not just part of the race. So he makes a covenant with the people. And there are times when we make covenants with God. We really must, at that those times, we have to depend on the help of the Holy Spirit to help us carry out those decisions. And something that's important is that we don't wait. We don't say, you know what, that sounds good. Next month, I'm going to start doing that. You know what, if we wait until next month, we're going to cool off. We're not going to do it. Look at verse 25 of our text, Joshua 24, 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. Back up to verse 23. Now therefore, put away, saith he, the strange gods that are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Therefore, to immediately follow through. He was saying in the context of, go do it now. Now therefore, put away, saith he, the strange gods. So immediately follow through with that decision. Don't say, okay, well, I will do that down the road, sometime later. But do it immediately. Do it while the Holy Spirit has prompted you. We never fight the Holy Spirit and say, okay, well, you know, later. We do it immediately. And it's even good to write down a permanent record of that decision. Take a look in verse 26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. That great stone. I'd like to have seen that. I'd like to have seen how they moved that. But they set up that great stone and he wrote it in the book, and both those two were a testimony that they had made this decision to follow God. So to write down a permanent record of our decision. And in this case here, there was an object set as a reminder. That great stone set up under the oak. I mentioned last week how there was a bit of a confrontation between the tribes of Israel that settled on the east side of Jordan and those that settled on the west, when those on the east side set up an altar. And the other tribes thought, oh, they're separating from us. They're going to do their own sacrifices on their side of Jordan. And they came over to them and they asked them about it, and they said, no, this is a memorial to our children that we are one people and that we are going to serve the Lord together. And they said, that's only a memorial. That is not to be used. It's just a memorial. And so here, Joshua sets up a memorial, something as a memory tool. You know, and there's a lot of homes that you'll see, that Christians that have put up on their wall, for me and my house, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's a visible reminder of a decision. It's not a specific decision in the sense that, you know, how we're going to serve the Lord, but it is a statement saying we will do that. And if you put that on your wall, better mark it down. Better plan on serving the Lord. Don't turn that picture around. You know, when you're having a bad day, you've got to follow through with it. Now, remember, it's not to be an object of worship if we set ourselves some sort of a memorial. Not an object of worship, but an object to remind ourselves to be faithful to the decisions that we've made. You think in the Old Testament how God had Moses take and make a bronze snake, put it on a pole. And if I understand right, that's where we get the sign of the EMS symbol with the snake on the pole. That he had Moses put that snake on the pole, and that the children of Israel had to look on that snake during that time when they had the plague with the snakes that were biting them. And if they looked on that pole, then they were healed. It sounds like a myth, but it isn't. It was a picture of Jesus Christ. And the New Testament clearly states that Jesus, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so was the Son of Man lifted up. And so that when a person looks on Jesus Christ and trusts in him as their Savior, their sins are forgiven. They're given that home in heaven. But we know that people started to apostatize and started to treat that snake as an idol. And then in Hezekiah's day, he ends up smashing that thing and names it Nehushtan. It is but brass, is the name he gave it. It is but brass. It's a piece of brass. Why are you worshiping this? That was a really good move on his part. Something about decisions is that sometimes they need to be reaffirmed from time to time. Sometimes we make an excellent decision, and we start going down that path. We start following the Lord in it, and then we start to wane a little bit. We get a little tired. And then the Lord speaks to us through his word, or maybe through the preaching, or maybe through someone says to us, something they say to us. And the Lord convicts us and says, you made a commitment about this. And then we got to go, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I did make a commitment to do that, or not to do that, whatever the case might be. And to have to reaffirm that. Let us not lose confidence and say, well, I've tried, and I can't do it, so I'm just going to forget it. I'm not going to make any resolutions. If I don't make any resolutions, I won't break any resolutions. You know, sometimes that's the way we feel. But let's make decisions that are godly, that are clear, that are you can benchmark them, and that are attainable, and then let's do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you, and particularly the men that were there at the men's retreat, you know how the Lord spoke to your heart, and encourage you to even write it down. Write it down. Tell someone about it. You know, if you're married, tell your spouse. And make it clear. Make it attainable. Not just, I'm going to be a better person. What does that mean? Right? Let's make it clear. Okay. We'll end with those thoughts. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you that it has every answer that we need in life. Lord, we pray that you'd help each one of us throughout the year to make righteous decisions. Decisions that would please you. Decisions that are not based on emotion, but are based on the Holy Spirit's leading in our life. We pray that you would be with each one of us as we go our separate ways. Keep us safe, we pray. We pray that you'd keep us in good health and help us to be used of you to tell others the good news of salvation. We pray for those that are not here, that are maybe out of province or out of city. We pray that you give them safety, and pray for the services at the Hamlets right now. We pray that you would give Brother Kyle the right words to say, the right manner to say it, and we pray that you would be a blessing to the people there. We ask this in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we bring Aaron Race before you. We pray that you would help the doctors to have wisdom to know what's happening there, and give him healing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.